Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
Now, welcome back on a Throwback Thursday, a Color Rush Thursday, Titans Thursday, Steelers Thursday, you know, depending on how you roll. It's all right there. I am Tom Abraham. Glad that you are with us today. Of course, the text window is open if you want to communicate with us there, because I've got a couple of interviews coming up now back-to-back. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, coming up in just a moment. But the text window is open at 732-982-7469. But before we get to Lee, an opportunity to spend a little time with Jeff Hartman, who covers the Steelers behind the steel curtain. I love that, for SB Nation. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Great. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. So what's your take on this thing? Everybody is singing the same song. Players are getting more and more vocal about these Thursday night affairs when it's coming off of a Sunday game. I don't think the guys would have a hard time with it if somehow they scheduled them after bye weeks so they were in the middle of, you know, 10 days off, 10 days off. But, boy, this is tough, this play on Sunday, play on Thursday deal. Easier for the home team, but we heard Ben Roethlisberger, you know, getting pretty verbal about it earlier in this week. What's your take?
Yeah, for the Steelers, they were pretty vocal. He wasn't the only player that was upset. And, you know, very few players are positive about these Thursday night games. And they're obviously thinking about player safety. I think that the schedule makers could do something like you mentioned in regards to, you know, throwing in an extra bye week or making sure the Thursday game is after a bye week. The NFL is not going to give up these Thursday night games. They obviously make a lot of money on them. It's just a matter of figuring out a way to make sure that it works best for everyone. But the players hate them. And honestly, as a fan, I guess you don't mind, but it just, I don't know, it just seems weird. So even for me running the website, it's a real short week. It's tough for people that cover the teams as well. So I'm not a huge fan myself.
No, I'm not at all. They have one practice, the Titans. I mean, the Titans practiced yesterday and traveled today, or they practiced Tuesday. They traveled yesterday, now they play, and it was a very, very light practice. I don't know how you get ready, and this is such an important game in the conference. And in the meantime, you know, they're tied with the Jags. The Jags had hammered the Steelers. I mean, you go figure that. And then the Jags now, they go to Cleveland, so they're almost a certain lock for a win, and the Titans have to play – you know, this Steeler team, which I still think is the, you know, second best team in the AFC. Sorry, Kansas City, but I think behind the Patriots, I think the Steelers are right there.
No, I agree with you on everything that you said, especially the fact that the Steelers did the same thing. They had one practice. It was a glorified walkthrough. They'll have a walkthrough probably earlier today, but it just doesn't, you know, the product isn't that good. And that's what the NFL should be ultimately concerned with. The teams aren't as prepared as they would be if they had a few days, more time to practice, more time for players that are injured to heal up. Now, the Titans don't have anyone on their injury report, which is astounding to me, and going into Week 11. But, you know, it is a very important game. You kind of wish it was on a Sunday to make sure you got the best possible matchup out there. But surprisingly enough, out of 10 games so far, the home team's only won 4 Thursday nighters. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that part of it is a little bit surprising. And then, of course, there's the aspect of, as I call them, the color rash jerseys and uniforms, which to me, it's like it blows my mind that a league that is the most recognizable league in the country would want to completely make their game look unrecognizable on a Thursday night especially when you had what you had, you know, for example, with that Seahawk Cardinal game. I mean, that was just awful. I mean, it was just impossible to look at. Now, having said that, I think of all of these uniforms, I think the Steelers have the best one, man. I kind of like that black on black look with the gold numbers and the gold deal down the pant leg. How do the fans feel about it? It's kind of a good look for the Steelers.
Yeah, the fans love them. I mean, there's very few fans that I've come in contact with, whether it's through our website or whether it's on social media, that don't like them. I mean, they're really sharp. And with the black helmets, and it's just kind of that all black, kind of like that blackout that you see college teams do all the time.
Right.
They look sharp. It doesn't hurt that last year when they wore them, when they debuted them, was that incredible game against the Ravens where Antonio Brown, which has now been dubbed the Immaculate Extension, where he reached his arm over the goal line. There's some good history with those already. So, yeah, the Steelers fans love them.
That guy's got to help me out a little bit. I mean, I've got him on my fantasy team. I got the number one receiver. And, you know, between, you know, Juju Schuster-Smith and what he's been doing, and now I got to get Martavius Bryant back involved in there, they're splitting up the looks. But, you know, Brown has almost been pedestrian there for the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's going to break out. It's Antonio Brown. I mean, there's going to come a time where Roethlisberger is going to need him to make a big play, and he's captain clutch for these guys. So I wouldn't be shocked if tonight you see a heavy dose of Antonio Brown. Maybe some big plays down the field. I think the Steelers are going to want to spread out this Tennessee defense. They know Dick LeBeau's defense very well, and I think they're going to try to spread him out and use the throwing game to the passing game to kind of open up the running game. So it should be interesting.
They do know Dick LeBeau's defense very well, but you got to say Dick LeBeau knows the Titans offense or the Steelers offense pretty well. Who do you think has the advantage? I mean, outside of personnel, and certainly the Steelers have great offensive personnel, but does Dick LeBeau, does he gain anything by going in there and kind of knowing what Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger want to do?
Yes, I'm not sure to an extent. But at the same time, the Steelers roster is very different than even when Dick LeBeau was there. You know, you have guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Eli Rogers. Even Le'Veon Bell wasn't as dynamic as he is now, and they don't use him in the ways that they did early in his career. I mean, the Steelers have changed a lot. And ultimately, I think that I said this on our own podcast earlier yesterday was, for everything Dick LeBeau knows, I think the Steelers know about Dick LeBeau's defense. I mean, Keith Butler, who's the new defensive coordinator for Pittsburgh, he was a disciple of Dick LeBeau, and absolutely, I think he knows how the coach wants to approach the game and how he's going to want to attack the offense. I think this is a good week for the Steelers, you know, Todd Haley to be in the defensive room and to meet with those guys and talk with them about, hey, when we used to face Dick LeBeau every day, you know, this is what he kind of used to do. I think they'll work together. I think it kind of nullifies each other, so to speak.
We mentioned that game against Jacksonville, which, you know, you could almost take a look at that and say, all right, that's just a dud. That's just one of them any given Sunday type things. It's not that Jacksonville sucks. It's just the nature of the way that game went and how it was such a beating that the Steelers took there. But they come back and they played very well since then. And then there was last week. What in God's name was going on in Indianapolis where it took them so long to finally, ultimately finish off what is nothing, you know, more than a really bad Colts team?
Yeah, I think that's a combination of the Steelers that were still mentally on the bye week. Several players after the game even said that they didn't feel like it was game day. You know, they just said it just doesn't feel right. They weren't really, I don't know if they weren't really into it or vested. It took them a while to wake up, but they finally did in the fourth quarter. I just think that this Steelers team, they've been known to overlook players, overlook teams. And you can blame whomever you want, the players, the coaches, but I think they did. I think they overlooked the Colts. They didn't think they were going to give them such a game. And after they got hit in the mouth a couple times, they had to kind of buckle down and finally fight back.
There's always been this thought that, you know, there was issues between Roethlisberger and Todd Haley, that it was never his guy. He loved, you know, Bruce Arians, and it seemed like that it was kind of an odd couple. But then they've had some really good times together. But it seemed like it got a little heated during that game against the Colts, and Todd Haley may have told him where to get off, huh?
But Haley says that he was talking to another coach, and you look at the video, and He is kind of turning towards the sideline and not towards the middle of the field where Roethlisberger is. But you know what? I've had a lot of fans say, I don't understand why he would yell at Ben like that. It's football. Coaches yell at players. Players get fired up. I mean, I don't care if he yells at him. He can call him every name in the book as long as they go out and win football games. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, there's no question about it that stuff goes on the sidelines all the time. And it would be, you know, as entertaining as it is when you see some of these wired up type deals, if they put one of those on Showtime or HBO and just kind of let it go without the beeps, I think people would be stunned to hear what goes on the sideline during a game.
Absolutely. Don't forget when Todd Haley was at Arizona, that was when he was the offensive coordinator there and went to Super Bowl 43. It was Kurt Warner that kind of went after Todd Haley, and they got each other's face. This is not new for Haley. Fans should know that if they're fans of the NFL. And Roethlisberger, he's a fiery guy too. You know, he's just not. He's not. I guess you'd say he's not as open or vocal as Haley is. But you know what? Coaches are going to get frustrated. Players are going to get frustrated. They absolutely had every right to be frustrated in that game because they didn't play up to their capabilities. But at the same time, you come away with a win, even if it's ugly, you're not going to find too many complaints from me.
Is Martavis Bryant going to be on this team next year?
That's a great question. I think yes, because I don't think that they're going to be able to find a trade partner because he's still under contract next year. I don't think they're going to find a trade partner that's going to give them what they value him at because, you know, he's one bad urine test away from being done, Josh Gordon treatment. Even though Josh Gordon's now back in the league. Still, I think that they value his what he brings to the team, and especially if Ben Roethlisberger decides to play another season. I think they see how Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant are such a threat. It doesn't even mean they have to cash in all the time and be the best duo in the league in terms of statistics. His presence on the field is a factor. So I'm going to say yes. But if they get a team that wants to trade, you look at a team like, you know, the Colts or the Giants or someone like that, if they're willing them to give them either draft picks or a player that they really like, then I wouldn't be shocked if they make the trade either.
Is there somebody on that offense? I mean, I would think it would be Ben or maybe Antonio Brown, but that steps up to him and tells him just to shut up when he starts, you know, when he's talking about the rookie, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's been so good. I mean, 29 catches, 529 yards, 5 touchdowns to lead the team. I don't hear a lot of noise coming out of Antonio Brown, but when Brian is saying stuff like, God, there's no way he's better than me. I mean, you just don't say – high school teams, you don't say stuff like that, much less in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know if there's one particular person outside of Mike Tomlin that did that. I think if you didn't get Mike Tomlin's message when he had to sit and watch the team play in week 8 against Detroit before their bye week, then I don't think he ever will get the message. But he made a big play. It's all going to come down to, does he make plays on the field? So I look at it like tonight's game against Tennessee – he has 3 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. He's not going to complain because he got his passes, he got his yards, he got the touchdown. But, you know, it's the games that he's not being utilized and he feels like he could be thriving elsewhere. It's a mess in a lot of different ways. But I think Tomlin laid the hammer down, and hopefully that's the last of – I hope I don't have to write any more Martavis Bryant social media articles this year.
Right. Jeff Hartman with us behind the Steel Curtain, SB Nation site on the Steelers. All right, finally – you know, I don't know how the Titans will slow down the Steeler attack unless the Steelers are doing something, you know, with self-inflicted wounds and whatnot. I know emotionally they'll be in a better place because they're wearing all black, man, and the Titans look like they're wearing their pajamas, you know. I thought they were going to go white on white, and they went with the powder blue on powder blue, and some guys like it. Some guys are already saying they look like Smurfs, and, you know, you look good, you play good. But on the other side of the ball, did the Jags give a little bit of a formula to get after the Steelers? I mean, Leonard Fournette, you know, tore him up. Of course, he had 90 yards on that one run when the Steelers looked like they didn't really seem very interested in running him down. But the Titans come in here with a big, you know, good running back, a good running system, a couple of good backs, Derrick Henry, big guy. You know, is that the formula when you look at the Titans for the Titans to be able to stay in this game with the Steelers?
The Steelers have struggled against run-dominant teams. You look at Week 3 in Chicago. You look at Week 5 against Jacksonville. That's exactly the approach that the opposition should take when playing the Steelers. They should go and try to run it down their throat. I think the Steelers, if they're smart, You know, you win the opening coin toss, you take the football, you want to put seven on the board, you want to try to get an early lead and make Tennessee have to throw the ball to get back into it. But you know what? The one thing is, though, is that Stephon Tuitt has been in and out of the lineup all year as a major factor in run stopping. And when he's in the lineup, it's much more difficult to run on the Steelers than if he's not. So it should be an interesting matchup, but I expect a lot of running attempts by the Tennessee Titans. If Mariota has to throw it for more than 40 times, then that's a good sign for Pittsburgh because that means that they're not running the ball well.
No, if Mariota has to throw it 40 times, Pittsburgh's winning that game by two touchdowns. How big is the loss, really, of Joe Hayden? I mean, he's a Cleveland Brown castaway. I know they were talking a lot. You know, he did some good things and so on. But, you know, was he really that great that they lose that much, you know, with him not being there now?
I think it was just more about his experience. He's a very smart player. He kind of had a calming presence amongst the secondary. And so without him back there, you know, Artie Burns, who's in his second year, he's improving. But I think Joe Hayden helped him a lot. He was the guy that could kind of pull him to the side and make sure he was in the right position. And the way that they talk and communicate with the safeties in the back end, they're going to miss that. From a performance standpoint, the way they play so much zone defense anyways, I think Cody Sensabaugh will be just fine, especially in this game against Tennessee. But, you know, if Joe Hayden can come back for the postseason or towards the end of the regular season, I think that would be great news. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers would be more than happy to have him back. But they do have a plan in place. Cody Sensabaugh will start, and he's not setting the world on fire. The Tennessee Titans know that, and it's his former team. But I think he's going to be serviceable enough in the meantime.
Excellent work. Jeff Hartman has been our guest. Behind the Steel Curtain is where you find him, the SB Nation site for the Steelers. Jeff, I appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. Well, that's a good get by T-Mac. It's good to see him reach out and snag a guy like that. That's a good job by him. All right, when we return, by the way, we do have a Beat the Big Dog coming up a little bit later on. It'll be in the 4 o'clock hour, just so you know. And tomorrow we will have a Friday trifecta for you. But mercifully, with this horrific college football Saturday coming up, mercifully, we'll only have a 3-hour show tomorrow because of Alabama basketball, so we only take you to 5 tomorrow. So keep that in mind. Those of you that love the Dog After Dark Hour on a Friday, we only have you till 5 tomorrow. All right, when we return, Lee Sterling is up next. He of ParamountSports.com. We'll talk to Lee right after this on 730-1039. Yep.